أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. سورة الكهف. كهف means the cave. This is also a very different, a rather special surah, according to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is preserved in Sahih Muslim. If one memorizes the first 10 and the last 10 ayat of this surah, the person will be safe from Dajjal. According to Sheikh Nasiruddin al-Albani, the riwayah, the narration about the first 10 is Sahih. Also, the Prophet ﷺ taught us that if one recites Suratul Kahf in its entirety every Friday, a special nur, a special light will be lit for that person from one Jum'ah, from that Jum'ah to the next Jum'ah. Also, it brings peace and blessings in the home. Once a Sahabi was reciting Surat Kahf, and his horse started stamping and became restless. He saw clouds in the sky. He told Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who said, reciting Quran brings peace, so recite it. This is from Sahih Bukhari. This surah is so important that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would regularly recite it every Friday. It has a special reminder in it for us. In fact, several reminders. It's also unusual in a sense that it has mention of four different events, four different stories from ancient times. The reason why this was revealed was because the Quraysh sent men to the Jewish rabbis in Medina to ask about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The rabbis said, ask him about three things. If he answers, he is a true prophet. The first question, they said, was to ask him about the young men in ancient times whose tale was very wondrous and strange. And then ask him about the man who traveled a lot to the east and the west of the earth. And then ask him about the ruh. And the answer to the ruh already came in Surat Bani Israel. So when the Kuffar of Makkah came with these questions to the Prophet, peace be upon him, he said that he will tell them the next day, tomorrow. But he did not say Insha'Allah. 15 days went by without revelation. They started talking about him and mocking him, and he felt great sadness. Finally, the revelation came. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah alladhi anzala ala abdihi al-kitaba wa lam yaj'al lahu iwaja. All praise is due to Allah, who has sent down upon his servant Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam the book, and has not made therein any crookedness. So first we learn that Allah has revealed the Quran upon the heart of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It has been revealed to him, which means it is imperative for us to believe and follow Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam if we want to follow the book. And then Allah says that he has not made therein any crookedness, meaning there is no deviation from truth in this book. Allah says he has made it straight to warn of severe punishment from him and to give good news to the believers who do righteous deeds, that they will have a good reward, meaning paradise, in which they will remain forever, and to warn those who say, Allah has taken a son. The word in ayah 2 is قَيِّمًا لِيُنْزِرَ بَأْسًا شَدِيدًا, so that he warns them of an intense war. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about the events that will come up in the future, the prophecies of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that there is going to be a great war amongst the believers and the non-believers before the day of judgment comes to pass. So Allah says, warn them of this great war. It is severe punishment from him, and to also give good news to the believers who do righteous deeds, that they will have a good reward, paradise in which they will remain forever, meaning that this great war is going to cause a lot of turmoil and a lot of pain and a lot of destruction. But at the end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will aid the believers, and their true life of happiness, perpetual happiness, will be in Jannah. Keep in mind that in this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will talk about some of the major signs of the Day of Judgment, some of the major events that will occur before the Day of Judgment commences. And also the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that reading the surah is going to help a person protect him against the fitna of Dajjal. Who is Dajjal? Antichrist or Ad-Dajjal is a man from Adam's offspring who will come before the Day of Judgment. Allah will give him extraordinary powers and he will make him a trial and affliction for people. Dajjal will claim to be God and will ask people to worship him instead of Allah. He will be the greatest trial ever for human beings. All the living people will follow him, save those whom Allah protects. The first people to follow him will be the Jews. He will stay on earth for 40 days. One of these days will be as long as a year. Another day will be like a month. And a third day will be like a week. And all the remaining days will be like our days. In his last days, Jesus, peace be upon him, son of Mary, will come down from heaven and kill him. There are many sound ahadiths describing him and describing his actions and deeds. The Prophet, peace be upon him, has said, there is no trial between the creation of Adam and the hour greater than the Antichrist. He also said, each and every messenger sent by Allah warned his people against the liar and the one-eyed Antichrist. He is undoubtedly one-eyed, and your Lord is not one-eyed. It is written between his eyes, kafir, disbeliever, that could be read by every believer. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also warned us and said, whenever you hear that the Dajjal is here, you must run away. Do not try your iman. There's a hadith in Bukhari that says, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, while I was sleeping, I saw myself in a dream performing tawaf around the Kaaba. Behold, I saw a reddish white man with lank hair between two men, and water was dripping from his head. I asked, who is this? They said, the son of Mary. Then I turned my face to see another man with a huge body, red complexion and curly hair, and blind in the right eye. His eye looked like a protruding out grape. I asked, who is this? They said, he is a Dajjal. The greatest fitna of Dajjal is that he will have gardens with him, and he will say, accept me as your Lord and you can have these gardens and treasures that will be at his disposal and visible to people. But if a person accepts it, those gardens will be hellfire. The person will fall into hellfire. And the fire that he has with him are actually going to be gardens. So he will warn people against hell and say, this is the fire that I have. If you disobey me, then you will fall into this fire. But that fire will actually be Jannah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught a dua that he would recite during his salah, right after he would finish his tashahud, durood ibrahimi, and before he would say salam. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min azab al-qabr wa azab jahannam wa a'udhu bika min fitnat al-masih ad-dajjal wa a'udhu bika min fitnat al-mahya wal-mamat. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-ma'thimi wal-maghrim. In this dua, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us to ask Allah refuge from the fitna of Dajjal amongst the other fitnas. Dajjal means trickery. So a person who recites Suratul Kahf is going to have a noor lit for that person, lit for that believer from one Friday to the next. If a person keeps that up, and also understands the hints and the wisdom in the different stories within the surah, insha'Allah ta'ala, they are going to be safe from the fitna of this misconception, the trickery of Dajjal. Allahumma ja'alna minhum ya rabbal alameen. So Allah says, this Quran, he has made it straight to warn of severe punishment from him, the severe war that is going to come up, and to give good news to the believers who do righteous deeds, that they will have a good reward in which they will remain forever, and to warn those who say Allah has taken a son. They have no knowledge of it, nor had their fathers. Grave is the word that comes out of their mouths. They speak not except a lie. Then perhaps you would kill yourself through grief over them, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if they do not believe in this message, and out of sorrow. Indeed, we have made that which is on the earth adornment for it, that we may test them as to which of them is best indeed. So this dunya, the attractive wealth of this dunya, Allah says, is a test for people. Yes, a lot of people do not believe. And it would pain Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam because he wanted so much for people to see the truth and to accept the truth so they would be saved. And he would have feel grief and sorrow for them if they didn't. But Allah says, they are deceived by what they see on the outward, the dajjal of this world. Allah says, this dunya is simply a deception. It is a mirage. Allah says, and indeed we will make that which is upon it, upon the earth, into a barren ground. Or, have you thought that the companions of the cave and the inscription were, among our signs, a wonder? Allah says, rather, it is only one of the many wonders of Allah. Now the kuffar knew, and everyone knew, that the Prophet, peace be upon him, did not know these stories. So here is the proof of the truth of the Qur'an and the prophethood of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah gives him the answer to the question that the kuffar came with. And here is the story. Allah says, mention when the youths retreated to the cave and said, our Lord, grant us from yourself mercy and prepare for us from our affair right guidance. This was a well-known story amongst the Bani Israel. The pagan king in early times was persecuting those who believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these young people had the strength to stand up and go against society and go against tyranny. And they decided to save their religion and hide themselves, to move away from there. But they asked Allah for dua, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا مِن لَّدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً وَحَيِّئْ لَنَا مِنْ أَمْرِنَا رَشَدًا. Guide us, tell us what to do. Allah says, so we cast a cover of sleep over their ears within the cave for a number of years. Then we awakened them that we might show which of the two factions was most precise in calculating what extent they had remained in time. This could be a reference to the young people. They split into two groups and wondered how long they had stayed. It could also be a reference to the town where they woke up. Allah knows best. So Allah says that all of this occurred so that people would wonder and perhaps argue over how long they remained, instead of learning from the story. And we will see that is exactly what happened. Allah says then, it is we who relate to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, their story in truth. Indeed, they were youths who believed in their Lord, and we increased them in guidance. Allah increased them in guidance because of their iman and because they decided to take a stand. And we bound, that is, made firm their hearts when they stood up and said, our Lord is a Lord of the heavens and the earth. Never will we invoke besides him any deity. We would have certainly spoken then an excessive transgression. These, our people, have taken besides him deities. Why do they not bring for worship of them a clear authority? And who is more unjust than one who invents about Allah a lie? So young people can have the courage actually to see through falsehood. And they have the courage to stand up. These people, these young people, recognized that there is no such thing as other deities besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is a lie against Allah. So they decided to make a change and not be forced into submission by the pagan king. The young people said to one another, and when you have withdrawn from them and that which they worship other than Allah, retreat to the cave. Your Lord will spread out for you of his mercy and will prepare for you from your affair facility. They knew and understood wisdom. They knew the truth. They knew that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help them because they were on the right path. Allah says, and had you been present, you would see the sun when it rose, inclining away from their cave on the right, and when it set, passing away from them on the left, while they were laying within an open space thereof. That was from the signs of Allah. Allah protected their bodies from decay. He whom Allah guides is a rightly guided, but he whom he leaves astray, never will you find for him a protecting guide. Allah protected them and Allah guided them. And you would think them awake, Allah says, while they were asleep. And we turned them to the right and to the left. Why? So that their bodies would not be hurt by its laying down on that hard floor for years and years. Allah says, while their dog stretched his forelegs at the entrance, if you had looked at them, you would have turned from them in flight and been filled by them with terror. And similarly, meaning by the will of Allah, we awakened them that they might question one another. Said a speaker from among them, how long have you remained here? They said, we have remained a day, or part of a day. They said, your Lord is most knowing of how long you remained. So send one of you with the silver coin of yours to the city, and let him look to which is the best of food, and bring provision from it, and let him be cautious, and let no one be aware of you. So they secretly sent out someone with some money to buy food for themselves. Indeed, if they come to know of you, they will stone you or return you to their religion, and never would you succeed then ever. So they warned this person who was going out. And subhanAllah, they had no idea that they were now in a different century. Allah says, and similarly we caused them to be found, that they who found them would know that the promise of Allah is truth. What is the promise of Allah? The Day of Judgment. Allah says that the promise of Allah is true, they would know, and that of the hour, there is no doubt. Their sleep, and then their subsequent resurrection after hundreds of years, was a sign that Allah can bring the dead back to life. The coin had given them away, but by the time the townspeople, all of them, heard the news, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made the young people die again. So instead of really understanding this miracle and wondering at the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what did these people do? Allah says, that was when they, the townspeople, disputed amongst themselves about their affair, and then said, construct over them a structure, what should they do? This was an amazing and unusual event that had happened. Finally, the end result was, they said, construct over them a structure. Their Lord is most knowing about them. Said those who prevailed in the matter, we will surely take for ourselves over them a masjid. They will make that site a place of worship. It satisfies the souls of people to commemorate something that they deem as holy, and then we forget about it. But that was not the purpose of sending these youth. Allah says they, the people, will say there were three, meaning three young people, the fourth of them being their dog, and they will say there were five, the sixth of them being their dog, guessing at the unseen. And they will say there were seven, and the eighth of them was their dog. Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, my Lord is most knowing of their number. No one knows them except a few. So do not argue with them about this except with an obvious argument, meaning one from the Quran, one which is a sure argument, Allah says. And do not inquire about them among the speculators from anyone. Do not fall into this trap, this useless trap of a debate. How many were there? It does not matter. What matters is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to show that the promise of Allah is truth, and that of the hour there is no doubt. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and never say of anything, indeed I will do that tomorrow, except when adding, insha'Allah, if Allah wills. And remember your Lord when you forget it, meaning to forget to say insha'Allah, and say, perhaps my Lord will guide me to what is nearer than this, to right conduct. Asa an yahdiyani rabbi. So we know, alhamdulillah, through this event that it is imperative that we say insha'Allah for anything that we want to do in the future, because nothing will occur except as Allah wills. Even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam could not bring Jibreel alayhi salam when he wanted, but it was through Allah's command alone, and that is why he had to wait for 15 days. And when we forget, did we know that we have to apologize to Allah? We have to seek His forgiveness and say, perhaps my Lord will guide me to what is nearer than this, to right conduct. So what is the right conduct? To say insha'Allah. Allah then continues with the story and says, and they remained in their cave for 300 years and exceeded by 9. 309 years. Say, Allah is most knowing of how long they remained. He has knowledge of the unseen aspects of the heavens and the earth. How seeing is he and how hearing? They have not besides him any protector, and he shares not his legislation with anyone. And recite, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what has been revealed to you of the book of your Lord. There is no changer of his words, and never will you find in other than him a refuge. وَاصْبِرْ نَفْسَكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاةِ وَالْعَشِيِّ يُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَهُ. And keep yourself patient by being with those who call upon their Lord in the morning and the evening, seeking His countenance. Don't get involved in useless arguments. Zone in, hone in to the lessons that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to teach us. Allah says, and then keep yourself patient by being with those who call upon their Lord in the morning and evening, seeking their countenance. These are the companions that we need to have, Allah says. And then He advises us, and let not your eyes pass beyond them, desiring adornments of the worldly life. And do not obey one whose heart we have made heedless of our remembrance, and who follows his desire, and whose affair is ever in neglect. You know, when we look through some people because they are not important to us, and they're talking to us, they're speaking to us, but our eyes stray because we have seen someone else who is more important that we need to speak to. This is what Allah mentions. Allah says, and let not your eyes pass beyond them. These people who are simple, the ones who are not pointed out in society, but they love Allah and Allah loves them. Allah says, these are the kind of friends you need to have. And do not obey anyone whose heart Allah has made heedless of the remembrance of Allah. No matter how powerful, no matter how popular they may be, no matter how well connected or rich, Allah says, do not do that. Because this person follows his own desire and his affair is neglect. Meaning, it is an excess, exceeding the limits of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our deen teaches a lot about the kinds of friends we should have, the kinds of companions we should have. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in meaning that a person is upon the deen of his friend. And one of the most beautiful comparisons the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has made is that a good friend is like a perfume seller. Even if you don't buy something from him, you will still leave with a scent upon you. And a bad friend is like a blacksmith. If you pass by him, your clothes are going to get soiled. Subhanallah. And the closest of our companions are our spouses. So we need to surround ourselves with good friends and with good companions, because those are the ones who are going to complete our deen. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that a pious spouse completes half of your deen, so then you only have to worry about your own half of deen. And these are in meaning. And say, the truth is from your Lord, so whoever wills, let him believe, and whoever wills, let him disbelieve. So even if they're asking for these stories, Allah says, this is the truth from Allah. And here are the answers that you were asking for. If you want, believe. If you don't want, don't believe. Indeed, we have prepared for the wrongdoers a fire whose walls will surround them. And if they call for relief, they will be relieved with water like murky oil, which scalds their faces. Wretched is the drink and evil is the resting place. We seek refuge in Allah's mercy from hellfire. Ameen, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Indeed, those who have believed and done righteous deeds, surely we will not allow to be lost the reward of any who did well in deeds. Those will have gardens of perpetual residence. Beneath them rivers will flow. They will be adorned in there with bracelets of gold and will wear green garments of fine and heavy silk, reclining therein on adorned couches. Excellent is a reward and good is a resting place. Allahumma ja'alna minhum ya rabbal alameen. Ameen. Now comes the next story. Wadrib lahum masala rajulaini. And present to them an example of two men. We granted to one of them two gardens of grape vines, and we bordered them with palm trees and placed between them fields of crops. Each of the two gardens produced its fruit and did not fall short thereof in anything, and we caused to gush forth within them a river, and he had fruit. So these are amazing orchards, acres and acres of gardens of grapevines, but grapevines are very delicate. So Allah, in order to protect them, bordered them with palm trees. And then between these orchards of grapevines, Allah placed fields of crops. Subhanallah. And then water was gushing forth from a river between his fields. So he did not even need to have a special irrigation system. Allah had blessed him so much. So Allah says, so he said to his companion, while he was conversing with him, so this is his neighbor, and says to him, I am greater than you in wealth and mightier in numbers of men. He finds a way to extol his own greatness, to show how rich he is, and he finds a way to belittle his neighbor. Allah says, and he entered his garden while he was unjust to himself, meaning he was proud and ungrateful to Allah. He said, I do not think that this will perish ever, and I do not think the hour will occur. And even if I should be brought back to my Lord, I will surely find better than this as a return. Here again, we have a reminder of the hour. Nothing sends people astray more than losing the concept of the Day of Judgment, the concept of an afterlife. The townspeople of the young people of the cave had also lost this concept of the hour. This man, because he had so many riches and a wonderful life that Allah had given him, had also forgot the hour. Stopped thinking about it, never really brought it to the forefront. So it was now left as a vague concept in his mind, something that he might have been taught when he was younger. So he says, even if I should be brought back to my Lord, I will surely find better than it than this return. I will have a life that is just fine too, because it doesn't really matter to them. It's not an important thing. So his companion, the one who was poorer than him, said to him while he was conversing with him. So now this is a different conversation. The person who has been belittled has now thought about it and has been hurt. And so now he comes to his companion, the rich one, and says, have you disbelieved in He who created you from dust and then from a sperm drop and then proportioned you as a man? Now obviously nobody likes being belittled. It is difficult to take insults, especially those without right. The man who was not as successful as a rich one was in that state because Allah had chosen for him to be that way. The rich person was rich because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had chosen him to be that way. So now the companion of the rich man reminds him, have you disbelieved in He who created you from dust? You were nothing. It was Allah who created you, and then from a sperm drop, which is despised liquid, and then proportioned you as a man. But as for me, He is Allah, my Lord, and I do not associate with my Lord anyone. In essence, the companion is saying that you are associating yourself with Allah, subhanallah. And why did you, when you entered your garden, not say, what Allah willed has occurred? Ma sha Allahu la quwwata illa billah. There is no power except Allah. That is what is meant by la quwwata illa billah. There is no power except with Allah. All of this is from Allah. The companion continues and says, although you see me less than you in wealth and children, it may be that my Lord will give me something better than your garden, and will send upon it a calamity from the sky, and it will become a smooth, dusty ground, or its water will become sunken into the earth, so you would never be able to seek it. His companion is hurt, remember, and he is warning the rich friend that perhaps he may repent and turn back to Allah and stop hurting him. So Allah says, and his fruits were encompassed by ruin. So rich man's fruit were encompassed with ruin. So he began to turn his hands about in dismay over what he had spent on it, while it had collapsed upon its trellises, and said, oh, I wish I had not associated with my Lord anyone. At that moment, he turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And just as his poor companion had said, his orchards, the acres of orchards, were completely destroyed, and he was regretful. Allah says, and there was for him no company to aid him other than Allah, nor could he defend himself. There the authority is completely for Allah, the truth. He is best in reward and best in outcome. Allah tells us again, do not be dazzled by the glamour of this world. See the world for what it truly is. It is transient. Allah says, وَضْرِبْ لَهُمْ مَثَلَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا, and present to them the example of the life of this world. It's being like rain which we send down from the sky, and the vegetation of the earth mingles with it, meaning absorbs it, growing lush and thick. And then it becomes dry remnants scattered by the winds. Allah says, you see this happening all the time. This is what the life of the world is like. And Allah is ever over all things perfect in ability. Al-malu wal-banuna zinatul hayati dunya. Wealth and children are but the adornment of the worldly life. But the enduring good deeds are better to your Lord for reward and better for one's hope. And mention the day when we will remove the mountains, and you will see the earth prominent, bare and exposed. And we will gather them and not leave behind from them anyone. And they will be presented before your Lord in rows. And he will say, you have certainly come to us just as we created you the first time. But you claimed that we would never make for you an appointment. And the record of deeds will be placed open, and you will see the criminals fearful of that within it, and they will say, oh, woe to us! What is this book that leaves nothing small or great, except that it has enumerated it? And they will find what they did present before them, and your Lord does injustice to no one. Allahumma hasibna hisaban yaseera, ameen. May Allah take an easy reckoning of us, ameen ya rabbal alameen. وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ, and mention when we said to the angels, prostrate to Adam, and they prostrated except for Iblis. He was of the jinn and departed from, disobeyed the command of his Lord. Then will you take him and his descendants as allies other than me, while they are enemies to you? Wretched it is for the wrongdoers as an exchange. Allah says, what an exchange! I did not make them witness to the creation of the heavens and the earth, or to the creation of themselves, and I would not have taken the misguiders as assistants. Who are these misguiders, these so-called lords, these so-called gods? Allah says, why would he take them as assistants? And mention the day when he will say, call my so-called partners, whom you claimed, and they will invoke them, but they will not respond to them. And we will put between them a valley of destruction. So on the day of judgment, people will call upon these so-called gods. But obviously, they will not answer them. Most of them are mere names. The others are simply creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, and the criminals will see the fire and will be certain that they are to fall therein, and they will not find from it a way elsewhere. And we have certainly diversified in this Qur'an for the people from every kind of example. But man has ever been, most of anything, prone to dispute. وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ أَكْثَرَ شَيْءٍ جَدَلًا جَدَلْ. Man has been argumentative. Look at who he is. Something made from dust and something made from a sperm drop. And now, prone to disputing who? His Lord, his Creator, Allah. وَمَا مَنَعَ النَّاسَ أَن يُؤْمِنُوا إِذْ جَاءَهُمُ الْهُدَى, and nothing has prevented the people from believing when guidance has come to them, from asking forgiveness of their Lord, except that there must befall them the accustomed precedent of the former peoples, or that the punishment should come directly before them. Allah says they are bringing this on upon themselves. They are not prevented in any way from believing in Allah, but they just want to follow the precedent of the former people, the former disbelievers. Allah says, and we sent not the messengers, except as bringers of good tidings and warners. And those who disbelieve dispute by using falsehood to attempt to invalidate thereby the truth, and have taken my verses and that of which they are warned in ridicule. Allah says, and who is more unjust than one who is reminded of the verses of his Lord, but turns away from them? does not care about the Quran, turns away from the ayat of Allah, and forgets what his hands have put forth, thinking that every single deed that we do is excellent, that Allah will be pleased with it, and not caring. Allah says, indeed we have placed over their hearts coverings, lest they understand it. So because of their reaction, and because of their stubbornness, Allah says, and because they make fun of the ayat of Allah, Allah has covered their hearts, lest they understand it, because now Allah does not want them to understand, and in their ears deafness. And if you invite them to guidance, they will never be guided then, ever. So you and I have to question ourselves. Do I ever find myself in a position where I feel away from the mercy of Allah? That Allah has stopped giving me chances to do good? Allah has prevented me from listening to the Quran? Allah has prevented me from praying? I have missed my salah? Is it because I am lazy? Or is it because Allah did not want me to stand before Him? وَرَبُّكَ الْغَفُورُ ذُو الرَّحْمَةِ. How beautiful. Allah says, and your Lord is a forgiving, full of mercy. If He were to impose blame upon them for what they earned, He would have hastened for them the punishment. Rather, for them is an appointment from which they will never find an escape. And those cities, we destroyed them when they wronged, and we made for their destruction an appointed time. It all happened at a certain time. There's a tremendous amount of warning in these ayat, and continuously Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stresses the hour, the last day, the day of judgment, the reckoning of our deeds over and over again. Because this concept is crucial for us to see through the Dajjal of this dunya, this material world. And also when Dajjal comes, a person who truly believes in Akhirah will know, will see the kafara that is going to be written on his forehead. Now comes the third story. And mentioned when Moses said to his boy, meaning his servant, I will not cease traveling until I reach the junction of the two seas, or continue for a long period. Someone had asked Musa alayhi salam, who is the most knowledgeable of all? And Musa alayhi salam, knowing that he was a prophet of Allah, obviously said, he was. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent him upon a journey to meet someone whom Allah said was more knowledgeable than Musa alayhi salam. This intrigued Musa alayhi salam, and he accepted the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and set out on this journey to find this man who was more knowledgeable than himself. He had a servant with him, a boy who was traveling with him. And he said, I will not cease traveling until I reach the junction of the two seas or continue for a long period. Because that was the point he was told he will meet this man. But when they reached the junction between them, the two seas, they forgot their fish. And it took its course into the sea, slipping away. This was a sign that Allah had told him would occur, that the fish they were traveling with would come to life and it would slip away into the water. But they forgot about it. So when they had passed beyond it, Moses said to his boy, bring us our morning meal. We have certainly suffered in this, our journey, much fatigue. He said, did you see when we retired to the rock, meaning earlier? Indeed, I forgot there the fish. And none made me forget it except Satan, that I should mention it. And it took its course into the sea amazingly. So this event happened a little while ago. So Musa alayhi salam now wanted to retrace his steps to that place. Moses says, that is what we were seeking. So they returned, following their footprints. And they found a servant from among our servants, to whom we had given mercy from us, and had taught him from us a certain knowledge. So now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has Musa alayhi salam meet this man, this mystery person, who is Al-Khidr. How do we know this? Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us so. Allah says, he had taught him knowledge and this was a mercy. آتَيْنَاهُ رَحْمَةً مِّنْ عِنْدِنَا وَعَلَّمْنَاهُ مِنْ لَدُنَّ عِلْمًا. Special knowledge Allah had given him. Moses said to him, may I follow you on the condition that you teach me from what you have been taught of sound judgment. Rushd. Note how the Prophet of Allah speaks to a teacher. Allah has sent the Prophet Musa alayhi salam, who receives revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to learn from another person, another human being, another creation of Allah. But Allah has appointed this man, Al-Khidr, as his teacher. So Musa alayhi salam asks him in all humility and seeks his permission with such great politeness. May I follow you on the condition that you teach me from what you have been taught of sound judgment? He said, indeed, with me, you will never be able to have patience. Now this is very interesting. Al-Khidr says to Musa alayhi salam, you will never be able to be patient with me. And how can you have patience for what you do not encompass in knowledge? Al-Khidr in essence is saying, you will not be able to understand what I am doing. So we learn another thing about education, is that difficult things which we do not understand at the surface require patience in order for us to truly grasp them. Musa alayhi salam said, you will find me, inshallah, if Allah wills, patient, and I will not disobey you in any order. Subhanallah, the highest of all human beings, a prophet of Allah, is speaking with such great humility to who? His instructor. Al-Khidr said, he said, then if you follow me, do not ask me about anything until I make to you about it mention, meaning don't say anything, don't make a comment, don't question me until I explain it to you myself. The teacher, the instructor, has an absolute right to put down the principles, the protocol of the class, to set out rules for teaching, and the student has to follow them. So Musa alayhi salam agreed. So they set out, Allah says, until when they had embarked on the ship, he, Al-Khidr, tore it open. So they stepped on a yacht or a boat, and Al-Khidr tore it open. Moses said, have you torn it open to drown its people? You have certainly done a grave thing. Subhanallah. Musa alayhi salam could not be patient with the very first event that occurred. And he didn't just question his teacher, he also blamed him. Al-Khidr said, did I not say that with me you would never be able to have patience? Musa alayhi salam suddenly recognized and remembered. So he said, do not blame me for what I forgot, and do not cover me in my matter with difficulty. Please do not try me, do not make it difficult. He was asking for forgiveness, subhanallah. So they set out, until when they met a boy, he, Al-Khidr, killed him. Moses said, have you killed a pure soul for other than having killed a soul? You have certainly done a deplorable thing. Subhanallah, it was a grave thing. In fact, it was completely forbidden in the Sharia of Musa alayhi salam, in the Torah. He said, you cannot kill someone who is innocent, because this person, this boy, has not killed anyone else. It is not life for life. So why did you do this? So from the first event of tearing open the boat, which was, he said, a grave thing, it has now come to this event, where Musa alayhi salam is completely stunned and says, you have certainly done a deplorable thing. This is the end of the 15th juz, alhamdulillah. What an amazing event, and so much to learn from it from us. Inshallah ta'ala, we will continue in the 16th juz. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun ala al-mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.